And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour, broadcasting live here from our studios on this Wednesday morning. And we are located, of course, at the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to have you with us, friends. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope you'll stay with us for the full hour-long broadcast today. It's a pleasure to be able to broadcast live and to share our thoughts with you, our listeners around the globe today. If you tuned in to the broadcast yesterday, you know our theme this week is what it means to have a heart on fire for God. And we have Pastor Jason Moore joining us in the studio today, and he'll be sharing our devotional message with us. And then, of course, we will follow that message up by opening the phone lines, giving you, our listeners, the opportunity to join us live on the air with your comments, questions, a testimony perhaps, a counseling need that we could assist you with, and your prayer requests, always welcome here on the Grace Hour. We hope to hear from many of you. We'll give you the numbers now and throughout the broadcast as well, so that you're familiar with them, and when the phone lines are open, your opportunity to join us. Toll free in all of North America, 800-338-7060. And locally here in the Baltimore area, for all of you that are tuning in the greater Baltimore area, that number is 410-483-3700. I want to welcome everyone listening live on gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and our podcast, of course, is going out over the airwaves on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, just to mention a few. And, of course, if you can't listen to the broadcast live today, you can always archive today's broadcast and listen to it at your convenience. And we hope that many of you will do that as well. So once again, we want to welcome you to the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. And, of course, this being Wednesday, we want to remind our listeners here in the greater Baltimore area that tonight is our midweek service. It begins promptly at 7 p.m., and we're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in Baltimore. The zip code is 21206, and we welcome you. We hope you can make it out and join us tonight. A great time to gather together with the body of Christ right in the middle of the week. Usually it's a timely message, something that we all need to hear. And, of course, the fellowship is wonderful. The worship, well, we invite you into that as well. So come on out, join the saints together that are gathering here at the Greater Grace World Outreach tonight. And don't forget, we have a mother's room for the newborns. There is a nursery program, junior church program. So all of the children's programs are prepared and, again, well chaperoned. So if you'd like to bring your children to be a part of those programs, you're welcome to do that. And you can join us in our service in our chapel tonight at 7 p.m. Well, this is a great theme, friends, that we are developing throughout this week. Yesterday, we heard from Luke chapter 24 and what it means to have our hearts burning because of the scriptures that Jesus opened up to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And today, Pastor Jason Moore will be sharing from Jeremiah chapter 20. The prophet said that my heart burned and I had to speak. Well, let's find out from Pastor Jason what he had to say.
Wow. Amen. Good morning, Pastor Love.
Good morning.
And great to have the listening audience with us. And just a shout out to the Knowles family. We're praying for Joshua today. He's in surgery. And just a precious young boy. Just lift him up in your prayers. We love that family. And just been meditating on this theme, Jeremiah chapter 20, and it's interesting the context of Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah was in stocks. He was bound, and the chief priest put him there. And he was having a dialogue within himself of being bitter to God, and he was upset with God, and he was making decisions based on his emotions. And he said this classic verse here, I will not make mention of him, as if to say, I am done. I am totally done. And I want to kind of pause here for a moment, because if my life is interpreting who God is, this is what will happen. We will be an emotional Christian that personalizes and personifies God based on natural emotions. And that is one of the greatest challenges we have in our emotional day, where everything is focused on emotions and feelings and how I feel and, you know, and how I've been hurt or how this should have happened, all this preference. And Jeremiah, who is an amazing prophet here, a weeping prophet, very much in touch with, insensitive to the heart of God, but he kind of lost, he went off the road here a little bit, like we all do it sometimes. But I wanted to say this, that caution ourselves when we get into this feelings orientation, because we can miss God totally. We can, and by the way, God is in touch with the feeling of our infirmities, but he's not like us. He's not an emotional roller coaster when things go up and down. But instead, he's a God that empathizes and identifies with us 100%, but he's also a God of truth. And the truth, when our emotions are tethered to truth, we can have a lot of feelings, but we don't have an emotional mutiny that takes over our heart. So today, a lot of depression, anxiety, panic, fear, guilt, shame, a lot of it is because of an emotional mutiny, but some of it isn't. So I'll just say it like that. But what I love about Jeremiah, he recovers. And this is the beauty of our faith. He says, I will not make mention of him, nor will I speak any more his name. Now, very interestingly enough, in Jeremiah 23, 27 through 29, it says that the prophets forgot my name, and they taught my people to forget my name. And that was the circumventing of God's order. And therefore, God says, my word is a fire that comes out of your mouth and devours my people like wood. It's a very interesting verse there in Jeremiah 23, 27 through 29. And also, he says this in Jeremiah 5, 13. My word is not in them. My word is not in them. Therefore, when you speak my word, it will consume my people. Now, this is the day and age we're living in when people don't have the ability to receive the word because they want something that will make them feel good or make them, you know, have this emotional devotional that gives them just a superficial way. But God is saying, I'm a consuming fire that we've read so beautifully in Hebrews chapter 12. 29, I am a consuming fire. So why do I bring that up? Well, let's go look back in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. So he's saying, I will not make mention of him. I will not speak. I'm done. He comes to the end of himself. Now, remember, the chief priest threw him in bonds because he was prophesying about the destruction of Israel that was already happening. And people got upset with him. And it says that the priest beat him and put him in bonds. So obviously, Jeremiah is in a bad mood, but I love the recovery here. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, but I could not. And this is the awesome action of the word of God, is because we may be done, but God is not done. We may give up, but God never gives up. We may stop, but God never stops. God is relentless, relentless, relentless. And if you look at Jeremiah chapter 1 and the promises that God gave Jeremiah, he infused in him the promise and identity of grace. And this is the burning nature of God in him. It says in Jeremiah 20, verse 11 and 12, that God is like a dreaded warrior. And I love that term. It means, what is a dreaded warrior? It means a warrior that is never going to stop advancing, stop fighting, and stop going after the prize. And this is how God is reflected here in Jeremiah, is that he stopped, but the intrinsic action of the word of God was fire in his bones, fire in his bones. And this is why the hiding the word of God is so valuable in my heart, because there will be a day when maybe you throw your hands up and say, you know what? I am done. And God says, praise God, you are done performing. Now I can demonstrate my love in you. I can demonstrate my grace. I can demonstrate my truth, because it's no longer you trying, but now it's you trusting. And this is where he gives us a spirit of burning in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4, where he burns away the dross. He burns away the unbelief. He burns away and refines us as a pure agent, a sinner saved by grace. And if you read Jeremiah 1, 17 through 20, this is interesting to look at. Well, what is the fire declaring? Well, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I've commanded you. Do not be dismayed before their faces. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you. For I am with you, saith the Lord, to deliver you. This is the fire. It's the word of God in us acting. It's the word of God completing in Jeremiah and Job chapter 23. It's completing that thing that he's appointed for us to do. It's the word of God. It's the word of God giving the power. It's the word of God giving the energy. It's the word of God giving the passion. It's the word of God in 2 Corinthians 5 that constrains us, that propels us, that moves us. This is where we get hijacked. We somehow think we have to work it up. I don't feel God, someone might say. I don't feel the sense of his presence. I don't feel like I belong. That's a big statement I hear. I don't feel like I'm lovable or loved, or I don't have any friends in the church. It's like we have to look away from this emotional inventory and conclusion and say, where is your word? I ate your word, and it became unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So my relationship with the word keeps my heart on fire. My relationship with the God of the word keeps my heart on fire. Because it's not the accumulation. It's not how many verses I know, and that's a good thing. It's the relationship I have with God in those verses. I might know one verse today, and it could be rocking our world. Why? Because the fire of God is consuming the natural man. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life in John 6:63. Now, are emotions a part of life? They are. And they're beautiful. We are emotional beings. We emote and we respond to those things, good, bad, and the ugly. And God is saying, my fire in you is me. And feed that fire in Proverbs 26:20. Keep throwing wood on that fire. Don't let the devil always focuses on our performance, what's happening or what's not happening. But we say, no, we will not forget your name. That's going to be our fellowship. So Jeremiah pulls out of this, and what happens to him, even in his difficulty, he is speaking the promise. He's speaking the truth. He is speaking the consuming fire of God, and it's consuming his old man. So just to kind of encourage us today, what are the obstructions? Well, when I personalize God based on my own natural viewpoint, that's like throwing water on the fire. So let's say something's not happening today the way you want it, or maybe you're disappointed or bitter or just cranky. The word will straighten us out, and it'll consume our natural orientation. And God will love us into change. God will love us into passion. God will love us into having energy to do what needs to be done. And maybe there are dry times, and those dry times are to reassess and reprioritize and say, listen, maybe I've overextended myself. Maybe I'm doing something good, but it's not God. What is the action of the Word of God? It is to be received, meditated, and the intrinsic action of the Word is what produces the will and the energy of God. It's the will and to do of His good pleasure is up to God. So I just want to encourage us today, Jeremiah. I love Jeremiah because he is such a relatable person, like we see Peter and David and so many. He is in an environment where he wanted to quit. And God said, I'm not going to let you quit, because what's in you is what's going to save a nation. What's in you is going to save your family. What's in you is going to save your future, because if we quit, it's the only time we lose. We can get discouraged, we can be knocked down, but we get back up. Why? Who's picking us up? Malachi 7. I might be down for a season, but it's the Lord that picks us up. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. And don't forget the accuser of the brethren. He's always trying to personalize and personify who God is based on human emotion. And you know what? That is rampant today, and it's so exhausting. But when we have a fellowship with the God of the Bible, the God of true love, the God of true grace, He is relentless. He is consuming. He is an awesome, dreaded warrior that just will not stop pursuing you and I. And thank you, Lord, for that today. Thank you. Let's not forget His name. Let's not forget the words in Psalm 119, 130 that produce the fire. You know, it's so interesting as we just encourage our hearts today with these thoughts that maybe you say, I've just got a little flicker. Well, focus on that, on the God of the Bible, and He will grow you. Don't stress or worry about the production of the Word. Fellowship with the God of the Word, and He will produce what needs to be produced. You know, someone said this the other day. They said, I feel like I've missed the call of God. All I'm doing is raising a family, and I'm not doing anything really extravagant. It's kind of mundane. Wait a minute. That is a holy thing you're doing. That is a holy thing. You're bringing God to your family. You're bringing God to your workplace. Your spiritual attitude and perspective and your non-compliance and you're not caving to the cosmic system. And if we fall down, we get back up in the beauty of repentance and we receive grace. And it's God who turns us. I thought of that this morning. I can't turn myself. It's the Word that turns me. It's the Word that turns us. So to hide the Word in our hearts in Psalm 51:18 is the crucial antidote for today's chaos. The Word in us. The devil will want to choke out that lifeline. Listen, if I'm not in church, I'm not going to reach my full potential. If I'm not in church, or if I'm not in my Bible, maybe I should say, if I'm not in the body, I am a candidate as a casualty. This is a day to be near, to carve out the priority of being with the people of God. And now, I'm not a YouTube Christian. I like YouTube, but I'm not a YouTube Christian. There's an accountability and there's a responsibility to be having a pastor teacher in our life. And without it, there will be no fire. But with it, there'll be a spirit of burning, a spirit of eternal perspective, a spirit of power and authority. and the devil will flee from you. In Joshua 23:10, one will send 1,000, even 10,000 to flight. That's the way I want to live. God, help us to live like that. It may not be 100%, 100% of the time, but Lord, it's our desire. Amen.
Amen. Oh, great thoughts to get us started, friends, on this Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Thanks so much for being with us. And we hope that many of you will choose to join us live as the phone lines are now open. You can weigh in and share what's on your heart and your thoughts about this great subject, this wonderful theme of keeping our hearts on fire. And a great, great way to get us started off this morning. Some wonderful thoughts that we will continue to talk about live right here in our studio. And of course, invite you into the conversation. Join us at 800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number in all of North America, Canada, and the United States. And of course, locally, right here in Baltimore, you friends can join us at 410-483-3700. And we look forward to having you be a part of the program today. It'll be our pleasure to have you. Chris reached out to us yesterday in the Grace Hour. We didn't have a chance to listen to or read his email. So we want to reiterate that because he reached out to us again today and asked us if we had got it. Because we talked about some of the ways how we keep our hearts on fire. So he's written to us and says, "Dear Grace Hour, here's some of the things that I do to keep my heart on fire for God. Let me know what you think. First, he said, I cast down vain imaginations and I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10:5, he said, then I think about the world and different ways that it's at enmity with God in James chapter 4. I count my blessings, Psalm 103 verse 2. I think about sin and the wages of sin in Romans 6:23, and I believe in letting iron sharpen iron in Proverbs 27:17. Well, those are some great thoughts. And I should note it's 2 Corinthians 10:5 for those of you that are looking up those references in your Bible. Great thoughts. I mean, that's a wonderful way to approach this subject and this theme. And he's got some great scriptures that will help to keep him spiritually sharp.
Yeah, I mean, what a great perspective. Instead of being so in tune with what's not happening or what the devil's projecting, this is a great way to casting down vain imaginations. Any argument that lifts itself up against the nature of God, that's a powerful verse right there. Like, what's revolving in my mind? Is it putting wood on the fire or is it dousing the fire? That's a good question. Like defining destructive thought patterns or defining negative meditations. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it sure is. And I love what you said about, you know, it doesn't matter. Because some believers may look at their lives this morning in light of this theme and subject matter and say, you know, I don't know if that there's any flames burning in my heart. But just be reminded, and you brought this out beautifully, Pastor Jason, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, a bruised reed God will not break. A smoking flax, he will not quench, but he will, you know, breathe on that smoking flax and the flame will burn brightly again. He's not going to quit on you. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to walk away from you. You know, he doesn't look at our hearts and say, let me find out whose hearts are burning today and whose hearts are more like that smoking flax and let me give all of my attention to the burning hearts. No, what he does is that he turns towards those hearts that may be just smoldering. For God, you know, the embers are just about out, and he finds a way to refresh that soul and to bring a spirit of revival into that soul so that that soul's fire burns brightly once again.
Pastor Love, that I think that is a super important point because we can dismiss God thinking that we are not enough or too small or haven't done enough or and the devil just thrives in that atmosphere. I love what Isaiah said in 64:7, stir yourself up to take hold of him. And how do I stir myself up? It's exactly that. It's how does God think about me? Not how I think about me, but maybe we're weak. And God says, my strength is made perfect. Maybe I'm broken. God says, beautiful, I will anoint you. Maybe I have made mistakes or you've made mistakes. God says I can turn them into testimonies. And that fire, it's not just this outward expression. It's the quiet burning. It's the quiet burning. And I think when you make fires like campgrounds, right, it's like the coals that have been sitting in that fire for a while, and they're just quietly burning, and they can ignite. They can ignite the wood and create an inferno. And this is what, I mean, I got to say this, Jeremiah, if you read the whole chapter of Jeremiah 20, it's great because he goes back and forth. He talks about the word burning. And then he says, I've heard many mockings. There's fear on every side. There's bad reports. I'm stumbling. People are prevailing against me. But the Lord, in verse 11, is with me as a mighty, awesome warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will be forgotten. Never be forgotten, excuse me. But the Lord of hosts, who will test the righteous and see the mind and heart. Boy, this is such a great... In those emotional yo-yos, God is like, sorry, he's our constant. He's our constant.
Yeah. You could tell he wanted out.
He did.
But God, again, his word, and I think it goes back to what you said in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. That is so important. That has to be a priority for every believer. Because when that happens, you're lodging something and depositing something within your soul that is never going to be removed. And it, as long as it resides in you and it's hidden in your heart, it will be effectual. It will produce fruit. It won't return void. That's encouraging. All right, let's take our first caller today. George is joining us live in the Grace Hour with a couple of comments that he'd like to share. George, welcome, and go right ahead, sir.
Thanks, Pastor Love. Pastor Jason, that was really powerful. I mean, I love it. I love it. And what was coming to me, you know, as you were preaching, and, you know, he sticketh closer than a brother. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, he separates our sins as far as the east from the west and buries them in the deepest, deepest sea. You know, drawing near unto him, and if you draw near, he will draw near. You know, knock and the door shall be opened. You know, I mean, so many things were just racing through as you were preaching. You know, I was just getting saturated with doctrine. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just hitting me left and right, and I loved it. You know, it was just a very, very, and it's so true about the emotions, and it's so true. You don't want to be a YouTube Christian. And, you know, you need the body of Christ, iron sharpeneth iron. You know, it's just, just come to church, you know, and that's where you're going to get fed. And from that, God is going to perform a work, a deep work in your life, you know. But if you don't yield, you have to yield your body as a living sacrifice, you know. You just have to do it. You just have to purpose in your heart to say, you know, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to and make decisions based upon the word of God, you know. And, you know, anyone that knows me knows I'm an emotional guy. I grew up on my mother's side of family. My last name may be Hayes, but my mother's name was Succelli, you know. So I grew up on the Italian side of my family, which was very emotional, you know. And one thing I've learned throughout the years, and I can testify to this, the emotions do not have a capacity to think.
You know? Amen.
They just don't, you know. And that's why it's so important to just get saturated with the word of God. Rest in his promises. Realize when you get up that his love, nothing has changed. His love, his attitude towards you, nothing has changed. Just like you brought it up, you know, but your heart's on fire, it's not on fire. But God hasn't changed. He's on the throne, and his love is there. You step right into it, it's there. Bring your thoughts into captivity in the morning when you get up. Hit a devotional right away. I know people are running to work, they're doing this and that, and I get it. You know, I did it myself. But it doesn't take long to just spend some time in the Word of God before you go out that door. It's essential. It's essential. And before you go to sleep at night, spend some time in the Word of God. If you have a busy, busy schedule, I understand families, people raising, you know, intense work schedules now, people trying to pick up extra overtime because of the economic situation here in the United States. But the priority is the Word of God and truth. Because that's the only foundation that cannot be moved.
Mm. Well said, George. Thanks so much for sharing those thoughts with us.
I love you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
And yes, George can get emotional from time to time, especially when he talks about his Yankees. But we won't go there. Let's scroll down here and see some of the folks who are tuning in and listening to the Grace Hour. Celine has been listening and joining us today. Thank you, Celine. Great to hear from you. Lori says, I love the message. So practical. Amen. And Belinda, yes, we continue to pray for you. And please hold Belinda up in your prayers, friends. She has some serious health issues that she's confronting. So keep her in your prayers. Joanne says, amen. Thank you so much for this message. And John Green over in Great Britain says, thanks for all of the online platforms. They help me out so much, and I'm getting ready for the midweek Bible study with Pastor Morley in London. Well, Father, bless that Bible study. Thank you for Pastor Tony, Joyce, their faithfulness. Bless the Word of God as it's proclaimed in that great city, and build up your people in their most holy faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Teresa, great to hear from you as well. We appreciate all of you tuning in and listening live to the Grace Hour today. And a reminder, of course, that the phone lines are open. Great time for you to pick up that phone and give us a call at 800-338-7060 and that local number 410-483-3700.
Pastor Love, someone might say, boy, how much of the Bible can I possibly read? I mean, I'm in my Bible. Maybe I'm coming to church, and maybe there are dry seasons, or maybe there's just not the feeling that we expect. So many people stress over not having the feeling they had when they first got saved. And I would just say that it's the Word of God, the relationship with God, that will produce the depth in our hearts and we're not seeking an experience, and this is why we have to be so careful. And I like social media, and there's a place for it with boundaries, but YouTube is a great tool. But we have to be careful what kind of message is feeding my soul, because if we're not being taught, then the message can really bring us into this works orientation, this legalistic orientation, or this progressive emerging church orientation where there is no cross. But the cross is the central point for the believer. And this is what releases the fire in our life. It releases the fire, and it keeps us from being self-oriented and being offended every day of the week. And who cares who said what, and who cares what happened to us? And like, the cross just demolishes us so that we can focus on what's really real. And that's what God says, what God cares about, what God is doing. And we can stop talking about all this other fluff, this what that person said, what person did, what that person didn't do. Who cares? Like, I'm sorry to be a little bit sharp here about it, but it quenches our fire, doesn't it, Pastor?
Yeah.
It quenches us.
Yeah, absolutely. There are some messages out there that if you just, as you said, tune into them, rather than helping to fuel the fire, they can actually be used to put out the flame.
Right.
And I think that's where we have to step up and realize in Proverbs 4:23 that the responsibility to guard our heart belongs personally to each one of us.
Yeah.
No one else is going to guard our heart for us. In other words, we're the keeper of our own stream. And we've got to make sure that it flows and it's in touch with God and it's in tune with the Holy Spirit. And we've got to keep ourselves. I mean, that's what we read in the book of Jude. Keep ourselves in the love of God. It's our responsibility to, again, make those decisions to stay in the realm of God's love. And Ron Williams up in New York, thanks so much for tuning into the Grace Hour today. Great to hear from you, brother. Appreciate your faithfulness, not only to tune into the Grace Hour regularly, but just to stay in touch with us. It's a pleasure to know that you're out there and so much a part of everything that's happening here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. And Elizabeth sends her greetings from Texas.
Lizzie, yeah.
Wonderful. And I believe she was here for the convention, right?
Yeah, there was a bunch from Texas. Great edifying people.
They are.
Yeah. Pastor great Love, you know, our message is not psychological. It's not psychological, right? It's not law oriented. It's not it's got to be grace oriented. This is why a pulpit in our lives helps strengthen the fire and keeps our heart burning. And gosh, there's so many subtle nuances that can just get us to be very self-oriented. You know, people say to me sometimes, "Oh, your church is pretty serious. You know, there's not like this display." You know, and I said, "That's because we're focused on the one thing that's producing everything in the Christian's life, the Bible."
Yeah, amen. Well, let's go to our next caller on the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. That would be Aretha from Baltimore. Aretha, thanks for being patient. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, good morning, Pastor Love and Pastor Jason. I love the message. Even when you don't see me, trust me. This woman, I made 75 years last October the 7th.
Wow.
And trust
Happy
me,
birthday.
That's right. Yeah, belated birthday, yeah. I have so much, that's why I can't keep quiet. I have so much to praise the Lord and give him thanks for every minute, every second, every day. Pastor Love, even if you don't see me in church, I'm in my scripture, in this Bible, searching my scripture daily. When I get off the air with you, I go listen to John MacArthur and Chuck Swindoll. Oh, I have dedicated pastors I listen to. And so trust me, I mean, the word is in my heart, in my soul, mind, heart, my bones. I live the word, and I try to live the word before my children. I'm not boasting. I boast in Christ.
Amen.
I believe in prayer. I'm a prayer warrior. And I don't die praying with prayer and my mouth going to eternity. When Jesus called me to the rapture of the church. Trust me, Pastor Love, that's the way I live. And I pray for you all daily. Not one day you are not in my mind. I pray for our local assembly. And I'm glad to be a part of Greater Grace Church. Mm. I thank God for his great grace, his great love. He first loved me. And that's why I love him. Amen. And he sent Jesus to die for my sins and sins to the whole world. And I thank Jesus every moment. Every moment. If I'm cooking, I'm praying and singing.
Yeah.
You understand, Pastor Love?
Oh, we understand.
I'm singing.
We understand.
I'm bathing, I'm praying and singing. Thank him for the water to bathe my skin.
Yep. Your passion,
my liver.
Your passion for Christ is so genuine and authentic. We appreciate it so
trust
much.
Trust me, I can't keep quiet.
I know.
I can never keep quiet.
That's good.
And we're never going to tell you to be quiet. But Aretha, and I thank God that you take every opportunity to take God's word into your heart. But of course, when we see you here at church, that's an even greater blessing.
Trust me, Pastor Love. I love you all. Have a blessed in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. God bless you, dear. Great to hear from you.
Yes.
800-338-7060. That's toll-free. And locally, 410-483-3700. Let's go up to Lee, Massachusetts. Jenny Perry is joining us on the Grace Hour. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Jason. Oh, I'm looking forward to the day when I meet Aretha. I don't think I've never met her before.
She's a blessing.
And, she is. And she just, she just bubbles over with like you said, with passion for Christ and the things of God.
Amen.
But yesterday I tried to call in a couple times, but for some reason couldn't get through to the phones. And so I just want to make a comment about that first. You and Pastor Sturge, was an awesome broadcast, as is today's. And I thought of this poem. You were talking about a passion and zeal and, I wish I could remember exactly what it was, Pastor Love, but something about, you know how you mentioned Moses at that burning bush?
Yes.
But the bush wasn't consumed, but it was burning. There was fire. You were talking about the Nantucket fire that did consume that building. But anyway, Amy Carmichael, there's this beautiful poem, and I think this is just a portion of it, but I memorized it because I was so, in a healthy way, afraid of ever getting lukewarm. Mm-hmm. I couldn't, I'll just tell you something personal. I cannot stand to throw up. I prayed in the 1990s that God would never, ever let me throw up again, and I haven't since. I can't stand it. And so when I think of the Lord throwing me up, it's even a more painful thing to consider. But I just can't stand the idea of lukewarmness. So this is what Amy Carmichael prayed. She said, "Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will fuel the fire. Oh, let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, O flame of God."
Mm. Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Jenny, I don't want to be a clod either.
Pastor Love, little chance of that. I would say zero chance of that.
No, that is so beautiful. God. That is so beautiful. And, I just want to say for the record, in the hospital, they don't refer to it as throwing up or vomiting. You know what they call it is protein spillage.
Oh, no, that's too technical for me.
I know. And it is, apparently it's too technical for God, too. He gets right to the point as well.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I thank God the Lord tells it like it is.
Amen.
The other thing I wanted to comment on, and this is something very close to my heart, is you both mentioned it today, and actually you mentioned it yesterday, is that we know and we are 100% persuaded of the need to hide the Word of God richly in our hearts. And all of us want our ears wakened in the morning and that we might have a word in season to the weary. But over the years, right when I got saved, the Lord gave me an incredible hunger for the Word of God. I feel like I didn't do a thing. I really didn't. He gave it to me immediately. And then Bible college nurtured that hunger. And then he's made me a desperate woman ever since. So I have to have the Word of God. But the one thing that you have said, all three of you have said these last couple of days, is that, but it's not enough to just have the Word of God, the words living, inside of us and in our, having the knowledge of the Word, but this relationship with the Lord is so imperative. And I, as you were speaking a little bit ago, I was thinking about my husband's and my marriage. Next year it will be 50 years. And what was it? We got married when we were not saved, but we made a commitment before the Lord, and he kept that commitment for us, I'm sure. But during COVID, John and I spent so much time together. It was glorious because we weren't just working together, which we do, during the summer and spring, summer, fall months. We weren't just living together and me doing the domestics and John doing this. Now, we were deepening our relationship. We spent time together. We discussed things. Sometimes we would be in the car and we wouldn't say a word to each other, but we were so enjoyed each other's company. And I've learned from that I'm learning, and I'm still learning, how to just sit in the chair in my backyard, and sometimes with my Bible, sometimes not, and just let the Lord speak to me.
Yes.
And or I'll speak to him, or I'll take a walk and do likewise, or I'll sit at my desk and I'll open the Word of God. But let him. I'm not just gathering information. I'm not just gathering information. I'm letting him speak to me, and then maybe I'll speak to him. Maybe I won't. But these have been the richest years of my walk with him. These last couple of years, where I'm growing in my relationship, not just with his word, but with him as the living word. It's so exciting.
That's amazing. Yeah. And we need those moments. We have to create those moments in our schedules,
yeah,
where we can just be still and recognize all over again that he is God.
Yes. Hey, can I add one more thing?
Sure.
I won't be long. This is the opposite. I spoke with one of my cousins recently, and he has the most wonderful wife you could imagine. I would just love her. He divorced her years ago, and I said to him, why did you do that when she's so precious? And even he admits that she's the best wife and mother that he could imagine. He said, Jenny, there was no relationship outside of the workings of the home, the raising of the family. He said, he's not a believer yet. And he said, I just couldn't bear it. He said, I was so bored. And I'm not advocating divorce at all. I hate it. But he said, I couldn't bear it. I wanted to discuss this, that, and the other thing. But she was so busy with the workings of the house, and she had to be with four kids. And I was busy working. And he said, we just had no relationship. And that's what can happen.
That's right.
That's what can happen.
I mean, think
so
about
thank
it.
Thank God we don't have to.
It can happen, you know, it, as believers in a local assembly, we can get so caught up with the work, the ministry, all of the sanctified activity, and yet neglect our relationship with Christ.
I think this is huge. I think, Jenny, you touched on something huge here, because we can have a psychological Christianity, we can have the nomenclature or the language of it, but
wow.
What am I touching? Am I touching the God of the Bible? And this doesn't happen superficially. And it reminds me, in 2 Thessalonians 3, it said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. And he's saying that for his mission trip, but how about in our own heart? Like, do I take the time and sit quietly and let it permeate? We're saturated, yes, but is there permeation? Does it get into the cells? And does it penetrate my thought pattern? And is it something that can counter the demonic projection? And the scenario you just gave is a realistic scenario in marriage, but also in the great divorce in our spiritual life. As who was the writer that wrote The Great Divorce?
C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, it's like I need more than just a fancy message, and not to disrespect that in any way, but I need to get and grapple and wrestle with the God of the Bible. We were sharing that in France about it's good to wrestle with God. That's a very good thing. It's, you know, we have to wrestle and in the right sense of just, you know, being persuaded and agreeing with him and having it transfer not only to our brain, but to our heart.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Well, when you're wrestling, I've never wrestled personally, but when you're wrestling, you're very, very close to the one you're wrestling with.
Yes, indeed. It's not like boxing where you can step away from your opponent. No, wrestling is very intimate, and I think that's what God is looking for in each one of our lives.
So So we wrestle with the Lord, Pastor Love, and we box the devil.
There you go. There you go.
Jenny, you're incredible.
Yeah, you know, the Apostle Paul would love your athletic analogies.
I got them from you.
God bless you, Jenny. Thanks so much for calling.
God bless you. Okay,
appreciate,
bye-bye.
Appreciate the call and the comments.
Thank you.
Great to
love
have
you.
David Walden on there. David Walden, I just saw him this weekend in South Berwick. Had a great
David,
time with the Berwick
God.
Church. Faithful brother there.
Awesome. Amen. And let's see. Let's go to the next caller. Suzette is joining us from the Baltimore area. Suzette, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hello. Thank you so much. Oh, I was just enjoying so much listening to every part of it and, you know, in Jenny's course. And then I love what you were saying, Pastor Jason, about how, you know, it's not just a superficial, you know, thing that we have. We have a relationship with God. That's what he desired for us to cultivate. I mean, he actually does the cultivating, you know, of it. But, you know, we just put ourselves in a place where we're quiet and we're sitting and we're mulling over and meditating, you know, over the word. And I was just thinking about, you know, one of the things that I'm, you know, this morning in particular to stir my heart up and keep my heart on fire was just thinking about the cross, you know, and thinking about what it meant, you know, thinking about, you know, his nail print hands and thinking about how when he was there, that I was with him and in him and that I was crucified. The self-emphasis of my life was crucified. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now I can listen to the word. You know, it brought me to that place of brokenness where I could just, you know, what I do is I listen to, you know, a chapter, you know, I pick a book and listen to a chapter, you know, three or four times first thing in the morning. And this week I've been listening to James and just thinking about, you know, James 4 in particular and James 3 too, just about, you know, how the tongue, you know, the tongue is a small member, but it's like it's set on fire, you know? And,
yeah.
You know, yeah, I'm asking God to help me to keep, you know, to keep my tongue in submission to his thoughts and words. But just thinking about the cross in particular, and, you know, for any of us that are feeling dry or just need, you know, just a refocus, it's just to think about the cross, think about the particulars of it.
Wow, great thoughts. You know, one of the greatest principles that I've learned in this ministry throughout the years, and something that Pastor Stevens would consistently reiterate throughout his ministry, and we're talking about years and years of ministry, whether it were preaching or radio ministry, personal counseling, fellowshipping in his presence, was the Ephesians 4:29 principle. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, so that it may minister grace to the hearers. That if that becomes the standard for our communication, then, you know, we're going to be all right. We're not going to discover, as you pointed out, Suzette, that our tongue, and it's possible for this to happen, can be set on fire by hell itself.
Yes.
I mean, that's incredible that something like that could happen, and yet it can. So we just need to guard our hearts. I love the psalmist, Psalm 141. He said, Lord, keep the door of my lips. Don't let a single word come forth through the lips of my mouth that isn't going to edify, minister grace to the hearer.
Amen. Yeah. That's about it. Yeah.
You know, on another level, I think of what David said, I open my mouth wide and you fill my mouth. And I think, like was said in an earlier call, it's so important to speak life. And that's what the fire does in us. It initiates the kingdom of God. I was in a gas station the other day, and it was like really early in the morning, and the person in front of me was just grumbling how much they hated people. I mean, it was like, I hate people. And they just went into this whole rant. And I just said, and then inside of me, I was so grieved. I said, you know what? I just said, thank God Jesus loves people. And that's all I said. And it shut her right up. She was kind of like looking at me like, and I think we have to speak in these days out loud, because Christians, I think we can be nice and quiet. But if the spirit is fiery in you with that right language, people are on this rant and so lost, and they're desperately in need to hear the fire that's burning in you. I just was thinking, Suzette, as you were saying that. So, yeah.
Thank you for the fire in your soul, Suzette.
Hey, you guys, we know we're all burning together, aren't we?
Amen.
Thank you. God bless.
Amen.
Got our fire suits on, Pastor.
Yeah. You know, I remember reading a comment one time by someone who read in the Gospels, you know, Jesus was referring to John the Baptist, and he said that he was a burning and shining light, and whose light you were willing to rejoice in for a season. So someone asked a friend of theirs, they said, you know, so let me ask you a question. He said, am I shining? And the brother said to him, well, that's the wrong question. The question you have to ask yourself is, are you burning?
Mm.
Because if you're burning, you'll be shining.
Exactly.
No doubt about it.
Wow.
Well, we're going to wrap things up here in just a moment. But, you know, I want to go back to some of your comments earlier, you know, the devotional portion. I'm just reminded, and I was reminded, of Malachi chapter 3, and it speaks there of the Lord. And it says in verse 3, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi, purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. He sits like the refiner of fire. And my understanding is those that are in that process of refining silver and gold, in particular with the silver, you know, the heat is turned up. And as the heat is turned up, as the silver is being refined, all of the dross, all of the impurities rise to the surface. And then the refiner removes the dross and the impurities. And the question was asked to the refiner of silver, how do you know when it's pure? How do you know when it's ready? And he says, when I can look into it and see my own image. I think God works the same way with us. We ask ourselves, Lord, how do I know that things are happening in a right way in my life? How do I know if I'm being conformed into the image of your Son? I think God's answer would be when I look into your life and I see my own image.
Beautiful.
Well, we're going to wrap things up. Pastor Jason, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, great to have George Shalliford here, too. There's some great people online here.
Yeah, it sounds like they enjoyed your message up in South Berwick, Maine recently.
Yeah, just love the people up there and some beautiful believers, beautiful family up there.
Amen, amen. Thanks so much for joining us, friends. We do want to mention to you once again about tonight's service at 7 p.m. We hope you can make it out. Come on out. We'll be encouraged together as we, again, gather for the specific purpose of hearing and receiving God's word. If we can do that, will reflect it in our lives.
Beautiful.
Thanks so much for being with us. God bless you until tomorrow at the same time.